From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and indeed questions coming in from around the world. Although today I'm not going to take any questions because I have a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the brilliant author and essayist, Mary Eberstadt. She's written the book that is available for those who support the ministry all this month, titled It's Dangerous to Believe: Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. The book available for those who support the ministry. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Cardinal Francis George of Chicago ominously predicted that he would die in bed. His successor in prison, and his successor's successor, a martyr in the public square. What Cardinal George predicted is already happening, and I would say with alarming frequency, in the cradle of Christianity. The genocide of Christians in Syria and Iraq is simply breathtaking. Although all too often, it falls squarely in the blind spot of most Western Christians. And even that, however, is rapidly changing. Father Jacques Hamal was murdered by the Islamic State in Rouen, France, while he was conducting morning mass. His throat slit by jihadists who forced him to his knees. One of the terrorists was on the French government terror watch list and yet at large and with a knife. France, of course, is still reeling from the Bastille Day attack in Nice after the killing of more than 80 people. And what has happened in France is now becoming a regular occurrence all over the West as we face a clash of civilizations, which can hardly be plastered over with politically correct rhetoric. Again, Mary Eberstadt has appropriately written a book titled It's Dangerous to Believe, and she joins me now from the south of France. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for having me.
Well, I really appreciate your book, and I suppose you are right in the epicenter of what I was just talking about.
I am. And of course, when we talk about what's happening to Western religious believers, believers in the United States and elsewhere in the advanced world, we are not making any comparison with the persecution of brothers and sisters in the Middle East and elsewhere. But to see a priest in France martyred for the faith is to be reminded that Christianity has enemies in this world, and it has all kinds of enemies in unexpected places. So without making any moral equivalence between the genocide in the Middle East and the soft persecution, what Pope Francis has called the polite persecution of Western Christians, we can still see that we are at a pivotal moment as a civilization, and we have to decide whether we will defend religious liberty or not. and it is under threat in the advanced countries as never before, particularly in the United States, a government founded on religious freedom itself.
Is there any cohesion between militant secularism in the West and militant Islamic jihadism?
No, I don't think we can make that kind of moral equivalence, but we can ask, why is today's secularism so belligerently opposed to Christianity? After all, Hank, you know and I know and your listeners know that traditional believers in the Western world have been on the receiving end of one loss after another in the culture wars, or what are called the culture wars. And to say this is not to say that their positions have been wrong. It's just to observe a fact. My point is that given that they have lost on issues like school prayer and obscenity and abortion, same-sex marriage, etc., why is it that the secularism that targets them is still as aggressive as it is? And this is something that I try to get at in the book, that you can't rationally explain the animus against Christianity that's held by today's secularist progressive alliance. The only way to make sense of it is to understand that that alliance has a rival faith of its own, a secularist faith.
You talk about two cracks in the landscape of religious freedom. Elaborate on that.
Yes, of course. The threats to religious liberty in the United States alone are manifold. On one level, there are the kinds of stories that we've become used to hearing, stories where a human face is put on these kinds of religious liberty struggles. For example, the fire chief in Atlanta who lost his job because he published a book professing his Christian faith. This is something that would have seemed incredible even 10 years ago. But now we see more and more of these cases where people are penalized in the workplace or otherwise ostracized for the faith. There was an example of a football coach in Washington State who was suspended for saying a prayer on the field after a football game. And this, again, is the kind of thing we would never have expected to see in the U.S. until recently. But there is a pile-on of these kinds of anecdotes, and I enumerate lots of them in the book. But there are also, Hank, attacks of a more institutional nature on religious education, for example. There are attacks by secularists on homeschooling. Homeschooling is thought to be something that parents ought not be free to do, especially Christian parents. And some secularists have been very overt writing about their desire to abolish homeschooling. For example, the leading atheist, Richard Dawkins, has actually called homeschooling the equivalent of child abuse. So that's one kind of institutional attack. We have also seen attacks on flagship institutions like Gordon College in Massachusetts and the King's College in New York. Both of these Protestant evangelical schools have had to defend themselves against attacks on their accreditation in the past 10 years. And I'm sure, Hank, that that is only the beginning of institutional questioning of religious schools. So in these various dimensions, we see various kinds of attacks on the transmission of Christian belief, and particularly Christian traditional belief.
Talking to Mary Eberstadt, she is the author of an absolute must-read book. It's titled It's Dangerous to Believe, and it is available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I think, Mary, at the heart of all of this, and you chronicle this as well as anyone I've ever seen, is the sexual revolution.
Yes, as I put it in the book, Hank, no sexual revolution, no new intolerance. it is the sexual revolution that has led to these assaults on religious liberty. They may seem to have happened overnight, but actually I would say that these assaults are the working out of a logic that's been unfolding over the last 50 years, say, beginning with the technological shock of the birth control pill, and then continuing into more and more arcane forms of sexual liberation. We see this all around us. Now, my point is that the revolution has become the equivalent of a religious faith. People who believe that the revolution should trump everything else, that is, secularists and progressives, are people who have a religious fervor about what they do. I'll give you an example. After the Supreme Court decision in the Texas abortion case recently, making it ever easier to get abortions in Texas, there was an incredible scene on the steps of the Supreme Court of the United States where pro-abortion activists were weeping and dancing and crying with joy about this decision. This did not look like your average political demonstration. It didn't even look like Occupy Wall Street or other kinds of political theater. It looked like a religious frenzy. That's really the most accurate way of describing it. And I think that same religious, or I should say quasi-religious fervor, is brought to all of these issues concerning the sexual revolution. And we have to realize that this is what traditionalists are up against. It's not just some passing political thing. It is an actual rival faith. It's not the first time the West has given rise to a secular faith. We saw this with communism and Marxism. But this new faith, this faith in the sexual revolution, is the single biggest force behind these attacks on religious liberty.
And you talk about the historical precedent for what is happening right now. I'm thinking back in my mind right now to how Christians so easily caved in to the coercion of National Socialism in the 1930s. And it seems like history is repeating itself today, people completely unaware that we are, in fact, recapitulating history.
Well, we don't have to end up in the same historical place to see that there is tremendous power, there is tremendous pressure to conform. And it's in the interest of everybody to say, well, I don't need to stick my neck out because somebody else will. Maybe the guy who bakes the cakes, who's maybe going to the Supreme Court, or maybe my neighbor down the street, or maybe my pastor. This kind of thinking does lead to very bad places. And part of the reason that I wanted to bring this public record to light was that I think it's time for people who are religious believers to get off defense and onto some kind of offense against both the injustices that are being committed against individual believers, but also the more metaphysical attack on the whole system of Judeo-Christianity that's out there.
We're talking to Mary Eberstadt. Again, she's the author of It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies, the book available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. It is time for Christianity to wake up because, as I mentioned at the opening of the show, many Christians in the very cradle of Christianity are facing exile or execution. Great historic places like Aleppo in Syria have faced genocide. The same is true in Iraq. You think of churches that were thriving only years ago that are virtually empty today. Mosul comes to mind. Genocide is squarely as mentioned at the opening of the broadcast in the blind spot of the Christian West. And all too often, Christians in the West are cut off from their own Christian roots. The entire root system of the Judeo-Christian tradition has been destroyed. And Mary Eberstadt, like no one I've seen before, is calling our attention to these very realities in her groundbreaking book. It is absolutely, well, it's a fascinating, I suppose, in a morbid sense, read. But it's important because it wakes us up to the realities that we are facing as Christians, not only the genocide in the East, but what's happening in the West. It's Dangerous to Believe, available again for those who support the ministry. Check it out, equip.org. We'll be back with more of Mary Eberstadt as we continue looking at a book that is a wake-up call to a Western culture in the deep recesses of slumber.
Edmund Burke said, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." And nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little. Hostile secularism is winning battles and gaining ground. But this is hardly the time for Christians to retreat. Find out how to respond to the growing secular tsunami by reading Mary Eberstadt's new book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hannah Graf will return right after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hannah Graf wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Religious freedom is under assault as never before. A country founded on freedom of speech and religious belief is being changed from within by activists hostile to both. Is this what we want America to be? Read the new book by Mary Eberstadt, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. To receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and you have tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are interviewing Mary Eberstadt. She joins me from the south of France. She's written a book titled It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom is Under Assault as Never Before. A country founded on freedom of speech and religious belief is being changed from within by activists hostile to both. Is this what we want America to be? Well, the rhetorical question is answered with a resounding no, but if that in fact is your sentiment, then you have to do something about it. And the first thing you have to do is know what's going on and then have the discernment skills necessary to do something significant. And I think this book leads us in that direction. That's why I'm passionate about putting it into your hands. You can get a copy, again, by simply writing me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or checking it out on the web, equip.org. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, the book available for those who support the ministry all this month. Mary, you talk about syllogisms. Syllogisms like, if you are against abortion, therefore you are anti-woman, or if you believe in Christian teaching, therefore you hate people who endorse same-sex marriage. The syllogism seems to sell, but it's obviously fallacious.
Yes, it is, Hank. And that's another thing that I think makes the difference between playing defense and playing offense in these matters. So those syllogisms, the idea that if you're against the secularist progressive political program, therefore you're a bad person, are fallacious syllogisms. They're illogical. A six-year-old could pick apart the logic of that. And yet, those syllogisms make up so much of our public conversation out there. Christians today are called bigots and haters without any evidence that they hate anyone at all, or that they're bigoted against anyone at all. And I think the time has more than come to raise our hands and say, this is unjust. Other people are not pilloried in this way. Other people are not deprived of a place at the table of public life because of these fallacious syllogisms. This shouldn't be happening to believers either. And I want to stress, Frank, that I think we can make this case with civility and by appealing to people's reason. And there is nothing alarmist about my argument, but I did write it in order to put facts into the hands of religious believers so that people have a blueprint and they have that record in their hands of what's going on, what kind of penalties are being given out to believing Christians that are not being given out to other people in higher education or in the better, higher social circles and in the workplace. So I hope that empirical record is useful to people, not because it should frighten them, but because it should empower them to say to their secularist and progressive friends and neighbors, look, what you're doing is unjust.
Talk about Hillary Clinton. You write about this in the book, the 2015 Women of the World Summit where she declared deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structured bias have to be changed. What's inculcated in those words?
Well, that was about as clear a statement that politics trumps religious liberty as any we have seen. I mean, ordering longstanding religions to change their longstanding teaching is a pretty clear statement of the idea that politics is above everything. There are also a number of statements that President Obama has made over two terms that I think have inflamed this atmosphere according to which Christians are seen as bigots and haters. He said at a prayer breakfast, for example, a few years ago, that there are less than loving Christians. Think about that phrase, Hank, less than loving Christians. No president, in fact, virtually no citizen would dare say less than loving, fill in the blank with some other religious group there. And yet, here, as in so many cases, there is a double standard where it is permissible to say derogatory things about Christians, and especially tradition-minded Christians, in a way that it's not permissible to make derogatory statements about other people. And I think the solution to this is not to be free to make all the derogatory statements we want. The solution is to abolish the double standard and to have a level of civility toward Christians that we have toward everybody else.
This may be a little off point, but you kind of got this going on in my mind with your comment. I think about Obama and some of the things that he says vis-a-vis Christianity. On the one hand, you have him speaking with soaring rhetoric about the Andalusian paradise, for example. On the other hand, you hear him criticizing Christianity over and over again. And what disturbs me about all of this is he says he is a Christian. I'm not doubting what he is saying, but why speak with soaring rhetoric about Islam and then demean the Christian faith?
Well, in particular, what the president has demeaned, and this is a matter of public record, is tradition-minded Christianity. That is to say, there doesn't seem to be a problem with the Christians who have already gotten rid of the unpopular moral teachings of Christianity. It's the other ones he goes after and other people go after. And if you remember from some years back, his statement about rural believers who cling to their guns and their religion, do you remember that? He said that they get bitter and they cling to their guns and their religion.
Sure.
Well, that was about as condescending a thing as you could say of ordinary rank-and-file Christians in this country. The point is that this condescension isn't just a matter of attitude. It really does trickle down. You opened by talking about what's happening to Christians in the Middle East. It's one of the most important stories in the world. There's genocide in the Middle East against Christians. And yet it took our government, Hank, years longer to use that G word than it did many other people and other governments. Even the United Nations beat the United States of America in acknowledging that this is genocide. And this was despite the pleadings of many scholars, some of them are noted in the book, who begged the United States to recognize that this was what was going on. Now, I don't bring this up to suggest anything nefarious about the president and the administration. I'm not saying they did this on purpose. What I'm saying is, if you come to politics with a bias against Christianity in the first place, if you think that the expression of Christianity in America is a problem and something that needs reining in, then of course what's going on with Christians elsewhere in the world is not going to be at the top of your to-do list. And I think that's what happened here. And it's one of many ways in which the plight of Christians in the Middle East and the purposeful diminishing of Christians in the prosperous West are related things. no, they're not the same thing. People here are, in America, are not being crucified or driven from their homes, but they are suffering in other ways that make it hard for them to help their worse-off brethren. So these things are related at the root, and we need to understand that.
You know, you talk about the root, and I think it bears underscoring. I think in this book, and let me reiterate that one more time, it's a brilliantly written book, but there are a lot of little things that you say in this book that are aha moments. For example, you point out that you cannot read the canonical works of Western literature without a working knowledge of the Bible. So we are benefiting from the Judeo-Christian tradition, from a biblical worldview, and most people who are attacking it don't know that they're attacking the very foundation on which they stand.
Absolutely right. And sometimes you don't know whether to laugh or cry about some of these stories. For example, in Great Britain, a street preacher was jailed a few years ago because he was reading aloud from the book of Leviticus on the street. And the judge explained to him that there are passages in Leviticus that can be read aloud and passages that can't. Well, when you get into that kind of micromanaging of the Bible, you're opening yourself up to a lot of dangerous possibilities and also ludicrous possibilities. You can't understand Shakespeare without knowing what's in the Bible, but you also can't understand our system of government, why Thomas Jefferson and others came up with the idea of absolutely protecting the religious liberty of all people. There's just so much you can't understand if you're going to censor the Judeo-Christian tradition out of the Western public square. And yet, people seem not to understand this, especially the people who are doing it seem not to understand that they are, in trying to get rid of biblical thought, they're not only depriving their fellow citizens of the richest intellectual and artistic and aesthetic tradition they could lay hands on, they're also just diminishing our own civilization. And that is a much more abstract kind of problem than the problem of the immediate injustices that are being faced by various Christians who are penalized for being believers. But in the long term, Hank, I think that's the biggest problem of all. If we say that biblical thought is now something that we can put behind us because we're ashamed of it, we're kneecapping ourselves. We're not understanding where we come from and what we're about.
Well, I think you're getting a sense of why I'm excited about the book. Again, Mary Eberstadt has written the book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. It is an absolute must. I mean, I have made a point of taking books that people need to read and endorsing those books and putting them in the hands of people so that we can learn discernment skills. And this is one of those books that you absolutely must read. It's Dangerous to Believe. It's available all this month for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. By the way, when you go to the web, if you haven't yet subscribed to the journal, take a look at it. Subscribe to the journal. Mary Eberstadt has contributed to the journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion, as just mentioned, on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back with more of Mary Eberstadt and her comments on the must-read book, It's Dangerous to Believe.
Hank Hanegraaff writes, as formidable and relentless as militant secularism is, with its attack dogs being unleashed on Christian belief, I don't think that secularism is our greatest foe. Our greatest enemies are ignorance, denial, indifference, and a retreat into cozy church cocoons or shrinking spiritual ghettos, naively and simplistically trusting that this too shall pass. Religious freedom is under assault today, as never before. read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. InterVarsity, one of the largest collegiate associations in the country, has been derecognized on a growing number of college campuses for believing in traditional morals. In 2014, Brendan Eich, CEO of Mozilla and creator of JavaScript, was forced from his position just for having donated $1,000 to California's Proposition 8, a ballot initiative limiting marriage to a man and a woman. A plethora of such examples demonstrate that a tsunami of secularism has been unleashed, and we've not yet seen its high watermark. To equip you for the days ahead, read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff observes, hostile secularism is unquestionably winning more and more battles and tenaciously gaining ground, but it advances only as Christians retreat or simply sleep through the conflict. The words of Abraham Kuyper have never been more relevant. When principles that run against your deepest convictions begin to win the day, the battle is your calling, and peace has become sin. Read the new book by Mary Eberstadt, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. To receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and return to our conversation with Mary Eberstadt. She's the author of It's Dangerous to Believe. And Mary, I'm thinking about something that Chuck Colson told me before he died. I had come back from China, and I was so excited about the growth of Christianity in eastern regions, in the global south. And I remember him sort of curtailing my excitement by saying, yes, but we cannot lose the West. We have 2,000 years of Christian history. And I think all too often we forget the significance of that continuum of history.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right, Hank. And among the reasons we can't lose the West is that the rest of the world needs the West. Again, we see this in the example of the Middle Eastern Christians, where the hampering of religious expression in the West and the attempts to cripple Christian charitable efforts have obviously gotten in the way of helping people in the Middle East. I'd like to say a few words, if I might, in this context of why the West matters, about the secularist assault on Christian charities, because I think that is one of the least understood aspects of this struggle between the rival secularist faith and the traditional faith of Judeo-Christianity. There are, for example, pregnancy centers across the country. These are usually, not always, religiously run places where desperate moms who want to have babies can come and get diapers and material aid and sonograms and this kind of thing. Now, you wouldn't think anyone would want to get in the way of that because it's so manifestly good. But you would be wrong, because the crisis pregnancy centers of America are under ideological and often legal attack by pro-abortion activists who want to shut them down, because they are religious, because they don't provide abortion. Similarly, another example, we all know how desperate the refugee situation at the southern border of the United States can be. The United States Catholic bishops resettle something like a quarter of the people who come in as refugees to this country, and yet they are harassed and sued by, quote, civil rights organizations, meaning pro-abortion organizations, because their refugee resettlement efforts don't include abortion. This is ideologically driven animus against organizations that do good works. And again, if you put it to an 8-year-old child, the effort to cripple these good works would fail an 8-year-old's moral test. Any 8-year-old could look at this and say, well, that's mean. Trying to take things away from poor people and desperate people is mean. And yet these attacks continue without anyone on the other side acknowledging that these things are wrong. This, again, is part of why I wrote the book, Hank. I'm trying to appeal to people, including people outside religious circles, to get on the same page about some of this stuff and to agree that the secularist witch hunt against religious believers has gone too far. It's not only harming religious believers, it's harming the people who depend on religious charities, whether those are inside the United States or the many charities that operate outside the United States. This is wrong, and I think it's time for religious believers to feel emboldened to say, this is wrong.
I think in some sense you're hinting at this, and I think it has to be overtly expressed. Your book is not just written for the Christian ghetto, so to speak. It's written for a much broader audience, and that brings to mind the idea that this is a book that you can put into the hands of a secularist friend to open their eyes to a reality they might be blind to themselves.
Exactly. We have to assume that secularism itself is not monolithic, that there are people we can reach with reason and reasoned argument. And my inspiration in this attempt actually comes from Martin Luther King Jr., who was able to reach across to people on the other side and to be Christian in the best sense of it, to start from the premise that people had done things wrong and they were forgiven for that, but to ask people of reason to answer to the better angels of their nature and to acknowledge injustice. And I think that is the only approach we can take at this point, because just sitting in the ghetto, as you put it, and talking among ourselves isn't changing hearts and minds out there. So my hope is to use these facts and this public record of what's going on in America to ignite a new conversation, and one that is very much geared to including secularists and progressives, again, within our families, our neighbors. Those people have human faces too, and they don't all know what runaway activists on the left are doing to the Christians of this country. So let's enlighten them.
Talk about the chapter in your book that deals with the secularist effort to undercut Christian education, and how Christian organizations that have been commissioned to do something very significant with students like InterVarsity are being hampered in their work.
Yes, this to me was one of the most shocking aspects of researching the current scene out there. It was discovering that if you are a Christian on campus, well, we all know that if you're a Christian on a secular campus these days, you're going to be in a minority position, and you're probably going to hone your argumentative skills, it's to be hoped. But the fact that Christian clubs like InterVarsity, which is a very popular club, are under attack, have been kicked off some campuses for not wanting to open their leadership to non-Christians, kicked off a number of campuses in the state of California, and InterVarsity is also under pressure elsewhere. And in the book, I give other examples of groups that are Christian in nature, trying to hold on to their Christian identity against administrative and other battles. Well, here again, Hank, we see that the intersection of these things hurts people. Not only the Christian kids who are ostracized because their Christian club is told to change its character or shut down, but also, to take the example of InterVarsity, this is a great group of students. They do all kinds of public service in the United States, outside the United States. So this is another example of how the effort to disrupt freedom of association, especially among Christian students, is also undercutting good works. We have to break that dynamic, according to which it's seen as just fine to attack anything with the Christian label and disregard the consequences for charity and for real-life people in need. We need to draw attention to this.
Our headquarters is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you may be familiar with the bathroom bill. It has, in a very direct way, impacted Charlotte and North Carolina economically. For example, the NBA has pulled the All-Star game from Charlotte because of the stance that our government has taken with respect to the bathroom bill, which essentially has to do with gender fluidity, which is to say that someone now determines their gender no longer by biology, but by their subjective feeling, and thus a boy who says he's trapped in a male body but is really a female can go and shower with the women. And to say that they cannot do that is considered to be repressive. Talk about how these social norms, this social engineering, is an experiment that has dramatic ramifications for culture.
Well, of course it does. But first, I'd like to observe that this is another example in the North Carolina case you're describing of the false syllogisms that we were talking about before. So if you say, I don't want the law to make it so that men can use the same bathroom as my 8-year-old daughter while she's in there, you're accused of being a bigot. There is nothing about that logic that leads to the conclusion that you are a bigot. And yet, again, this false logic, this demonization of anyone who separates themselves from the secularist progressive program is just part of the wallpaper these days. And even believers, I think, just take it for granted. They take it for granted that they're going to be in this defensive crouch because of aggressive secularism. My point is that there's so much irrationalism in these attacks on Christianity and traditional belief that we can call it out. And maybe by calling it out, we can get some people on our side who maybe don't march in lockstep with religious folks, but who are open-minded enough to say, you know what, I want to go back to the America where people could agree to disagree. Right? Remember that phrase, agree to disagree?
Hmm.
The Secularist Progressive Alliance today does not act on that phrase. It doesn't believe in that phrase. And we need to get back to a place where we respect one another and where Christians are not automatically ostracized and excommunicated from polite society just in virtue of their religious beliefs.
We must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. The temptation to yield to cultural norms is going to continue to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity, and yet to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed on our collective lives. And this is no trifling matter. It's a matter of natural law. And to strike a mortal blow against natural law is cutting off the very limb upon we are sitting as a Western culture. The book, It's Dangerous to Believe, an absolute must-read, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultant's also accessible when you dial 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Mary, the time has flown too fast. Thank you so much for your contribution to this work, for writing this book and for being on the broadcast today.
Thank you very much, Hank, and I just hope that it gives people hope and also moral ammunition out there, because we have it, we just have to use it.
And let me just say, you are one of the most brilliant wordsmiths I've run across in a long time, and that's evidenced in the book as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Hank.
And again, the book available, check it out on the web at equip.org all this month for those who support the ministry, for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. To make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive Mary Eberstadt's new book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org.